Let us pray. O Lord, may the meditations in all of our hearts and the words from my lips be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon for today is based on the gospel reading which we just heard. In this text, Jesus once again mentions little ones who believe in him. It is better for a person if a great millstone is tied around his neck and he be cast into the deepest part of the sea than to cause one of his little ones believing in him to stumble. This is not an isolated teaching in Mark. It occurs also in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. Now in Luke's Gospel, after Jesus says this, he adds a warning. This is what our Lord says. Pay attention to yourselves. Pay attention to yourselves. That's Luke 17:3. St. Paul would say a similar thing when he was writing to the young pastor Timothy. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. That's 1 Timothy 4:16. Why the warnings? Why does God warn even Christians to pay attention to yourself? Well, the answer is pretty easy. There are things in this world that cause us to stumble. There are things in this world that cause even Christians to sin. What causes you to sin? What causes you to stumble? Now, we've heard people, after doing something wrong, say, "The devil made me do it." And there is some truth to that. The devil continues to create a lot of problems for God's people. In this world that we live in, a fallen world, certainly not like the paradise first created for Adam and Eve, there are idols and false gods in this world tempting us to go after them, thinking that they may have something better to offer than this Jesus character. And finally, when we're talking about things that cause us to sin, we cannot forget about the flesh, the corrupted nature of man that we must battle daily. It too causes us to sin. Add it all up and we find that getting into heaven on our own, the odds are not in our favor. There is evil in ourselves and there is evil in this world that causes us to sin and to stumble. Maybe even fall away from the faith. Now that's scary to think about. Falling away from the faith entirely. Abandoning the church of God for something else. And you might say, "But pastor, come on. I've been Lutheran my whole life. Do you really think I'm going to fall away? I've been a Christian a long time. I know this stuff frontwards and backwards. Do you really think I would fall away?" If you have been in the church the majority of your life, what a blessing. What a gift. Thank God. However, our Lord Jesus never calls upon his people to adopt an attitude of pride and arrogance, thinking that we could never fall away from the church. No, instead, our Lord gives us a warning. Pay attention to yourselves. If something is causing you to sin, take it seriously. Deal with it immediately. Cut it off, says Jesus. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot is causing you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, Jesus is very clear, gouge it out. Is our body going to be perfect after doing these things? No, certainly not. But it is still better than the alternative, and that is life in the eternal fire that is never quenched. Now, hearing Jesus talk about the eternal fire, the worm that never dies, and self-amputation is difficult to take in. Let's face it, it makes all of us feel a little bit uncomfortable. Even for pastors, the temptation is there to look at a text like this and say, "I think I'm going to preach on something a little more lighthearted, a little more pleasing to the ear." I mean, just look, Jesus is using self-mutilation as an example of how we ought to deal with sin. To be clear, our Lord is not calling us to literally chop off a limb every time we sin. The disciples did no such thing. However, friends, this example that Jesus is using shows us the seriousness by which God views sin, the seriousness by which God views temptation. Separate yourself from temptation. Anything causing you to sin, cut it off. Separate yourself from it, because if you don't, you may stumble and stumble and stumble and stumble until before long you notice that you are no longer in the kingdom. You are outside looking in. The very sin that you chose to ignore, the sin that you thought was not a very big deal and worth dealing with, has now caused you to stumble right out of the kingdom of God. Separate yourself from anything causing you to sin. It may be painful. It may be hard. It may hurt. Still, it is better to enter lame into the kingdom of heaven than to die with everything the world had to give and enter into what Jesus says is the eternal fire. Now, we want to notice the three parts of the body that Jesus mentions in this text. He talks about the eye, the foot, and the hand. And this is not just a coincidence, friends. Think about how sin works much of the time. The eye sees a forbidden object, something you shouldn't be looking at it, but hey, it's tempting. You think about it. You dwell on it. You may even find the opportunity to look at it again. And then your feet take you closer to the object, and then your hands commit the deed. Just because you were looking at something does not mean there can be no consequences. You might like watching that reality TV show where the people don't wear quite as much clothing as they should, and their speech is not godly speech seasoned with salt. But be careful. Be careful that your eye does not cause you to sin. I'm just watching, Pastor. Just a television show. No big deal. Be careful. The internet, what a useful tool, right? I don't think I could make it through a day without at least checking an email. It's helpful. But the internet, too, has opened gates into a world of sin that is only a mouse click away. With just a click of a button, you can gaze at all the sin that your heart desires. Be careful. Pay attention to yourself. Because even the eye can cause a person to stumble. Even the eye, a very small body part, can cause a person to sin. Our Lord Jesus says so. Materialistic possessions also. These things can bring us joy, temporary relief, and happiness. However, thinking that by accumulating possessions you will be more secure and better off is not resting in God's promise to provide. Friends, be careful where you put your trust. Pay attention to where you place your faith. Make sure it's in God and God alone and not in earthly treasures. Hard to do? You bet. Absolutely. We know the first commandment, right? You shall have no other gods. Sounds easy. Sounds very clear-cut, and it is. But when you think about the meaning of that one commandment, we find it is much more difficult than it first appears. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. All things, not just some things. All things. God should be at the center of our faith 24/7, and boy, all of us stumble over this. We stumble over that commandment on a daily basis. An idol, friends, doesn't have to be a statue. An idol can be anything. Sports, go Dallas. Technological gadgets, worldly rulers promising to give us the world, even our own passions and desires can become those things which we worship over and above the word of God. An idol is a false god, anything that you set your heart or your mind on. And an idol, friends, not only causes one to sin, but the idol can drag a person away from the faith for eternity. And cutting out idols in our life, it's hard. breaking up with an idol is not always easy to do. It's hard to turn away from trusting in money to trusting solely in God and His promise to provide. It's hard to turn away from the idol of hoarding possessions to giving with a generous heart. For some, it's hard to turn away from the idol of all things Hollywood, and it's hard to turn away from the idolatry of the flesh. What do I mean by that? The idolatry of the flesh. Putting aside yourself for the sake of your neighbor. Yielding to the weak out of mercy and love instead of always standing firm in the arrogance of your heart. Casting aside your own opinions and ideas that tell us we're smarter than we really are, and heeding the word of God, serving our neighbor out of love and sacrifice rather than always wanting to self-indulge and serve ourselves. The idolatry of the flesh is difficult, but necessary to turn away from. Our Lord commands, "You shall fear and love God alone." Can be painful. It may hurt turning away from an idol because we can become so attached, but it's necessary. As our Lord tells us, it's better to cut off the hand, to cut off the foot, to gouge out the eye and enter lame into the kingdom of heaven than to enter with an entire body and be cast into hell. It is a necessary task for the Christian to undertake the battle against sin, to cut off those stumbling blocks in our lives. But if we took Jesus' example literally, friends, and if we took it to its logical conclusion, if we were to physically chop off a limb every time we sinned, you know what? We'd have no body left. You can cut off one hand and still have another hand that can sin, right? You could cut off one foot, but we would find a way to hobble and keep sinning. You could gouge out an eye, but still have another eye, right, gazing at forbidden objects. It doesn't take us very long to realize that though it is necessary to cut off those stumbling blocks in our lives, that is certainly not the end-all solution, not by a long shot. A person can be in church, surrounded by Christians, gather in the name of God, and still find a mind wandering away from God's word, thinking thoughts that are displeasing to Him. In the early church, when Christians wanted to get away from a sinful world, oftentimes they would go out into the desert. In Luther's time, medieval monasticism was at its height. People would go to the monasteries thinking that they would get away from the sinful world and do works pleasing to God. But guess what? Sin still happened. It still happened. Brothers and sisters in Christ, no need to flee to the monastery. No need to go to the desert to find refuge for your sin. Continue serving in whatever vocation you have been called into. Continue doing works of mercy and love towards your neighbor who certainly needs your kindness and your work. Be at peace with one another, as our Lord says. And know this, Christian. Hear this word. Your righteousness comes not by how well you do battle against sin. But your righteousness that belongs to you, Christian, a righteousness that is pleasing even to God, comes not from the flesh. It comes not from our work. Your righteousness comes by faith in your Savior Jesus. Now, Jesus uses the example of mutilating the body to deal with sin, but let us never forget our Lord's mutilated body, as He is hoisted up on the cross to bleed, suffer, and die for the sins of the world. Let us not forget our Lord's one-time sacrifice for your sins, my sins, the sins of the world, and all atoning sacrifice, taking care of sins past, present, and future. Brothers and sisters, when you find yourself battling sin, your comfort comes not in your own strength, but it lies in Christ. Your consolation and your hope is in the person and work of Jesus. When you suffer the fires of tribulation, your hope is in Christ. If you're battling an addiction and you find yourself on the losing end, turn not to yourself. Look to Christ. In Him is your comfort. In Him is your hope. in him is your rich and abundant forgiveness. Is there a place that we can go for sin other than a monastery, or other than running off into a desert? Sure. That place is right here. Continue coming, friends, to where God promises to be found for you. Hear his word daily that declares unto you that forgiveness, righteousness, even strength and nourishment to stand tall in this fallen world, Christian, it is yours by faith, freely, a gift, yours and your Savior Jesus Christ. Here is where we come to see the holy waters of baptism and God's promises bestowed upon his children. Come to this place where there is the true body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Come to this place where you get to hear God's word proclaim unto you that as sinners we are justified, forgiven, richly for the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ. Be strengthened. Be forgiven. Cut out those things that cause you to stumble, Christian. But as you do that, do it in the peace and the joy and the consolation that belongs to you by faith in your great God and your great Savior Jesus. Truly, this promise is for you. Amen.